Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. O Original Person, we are therefore but yours only. Although we are your creatures, we are born one after another under the influence of the three modes of nature, and for this reason we are separated in action. Therefore, after the creation, we could not act concertedly for your transcendental pleasure. Purport. The cosmic creation is working under the influence of the three modes of the external potency of the Lord. Different creatures are also under the same influence, and therefore they cannot act concertedly in satisfying the Lord. Because of this diverse activity, there cannot be any harmony in the material world. The best policy, therefore, is to act for the sake of the Lord. That will bring about the desired harmony. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Agyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shmati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tilnamini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashita Hare Krishna. So we'll read the verse again. This is Canto 3, Chapter 5, Text 48. Maybe we'll give you a little bit of context before we recite the verse again. We are here reading the prayers of the demigods. Let me first of all seek the blessings of all the devotees here today so that I can speak something of value. So the prayers of demigods, this is a beautiful section in Canto 3, Chapter 5. We've been reading about the different questions that Vidura asked Maitreya. So Vidura is a great sage, great devotee of the Lord, and he had a desire to learn transcendental knowledge. And so he was instructed by Uddhava to go to Maitreya and inquire from him. So Vidura goes to Haridwar, where he finds Maitreya sitting by the Ganges, absorbed in meditation, and he starts inquiring from Maitreya. And then we read in the previous chapters the different questions that Vidura asks Maitreya, starting with somewhat lower topics in our understanding. Although Vidura's inner desire was to simply inquire about the Lord, simply to know about the Lord's pastimes, Lord's qualities, intimate things about the Lord. But due to his humility, Prabhupada explains previously, he started off with somewhat lesser topics, such as creation, material elements, and how they come together. He also asks how can the living entities be happy in this material world? Because they seem to be always endeavoring for happiness but frustrated. So what can they do to be happy? Then he also asked about how to please the Lord. And then he asked about the creation. So then Maitreya Muni goes on to answer those questions. So we heard in chapter 5 the answers of Maitreya Muni. And he described the different aspects of creation and how the elements come together. And now here in this section, for the past 10 verses or so, we've been reading about the prayers of the demigods. Because they, as they were trying to perform their duty, they had the duty to manage the material creation, to bring the elements together, to make the creation work. That was the duty entrusted by the Lord. But they faced some challenges. So they were not able to perform their duty, and thus they start praying to the Lord. They come to Lord Vishnu, and they offer these beautiful prayers. So we've been reading these prayers of demigods, narrated by Maitreya Muni to Vidura. So this is a little bit of background, what's been going on. And these prayers, you will notice that they have a particular sequence or particular elements in them. So generally, when we read the prayers of devotees in the Bhagavatam or any other Vaishnava literature, we will see that we can find certain elements in the prayers. So first, there will be some kind of glorification of the Lord. The devotee will not immediately ask the Lord for benediction, but first of all, the devotee will offer some glorification. If we are not treating the Lord as our order supplier, that Lord, give me this, give me that, but first we glorify the Lord from our heart. So the demigods, they offered beautiful prayers unto the lotus feet of the Lord. You can go back a few verses and read those prayers, how they really beautifully glorify the lotus feet of the Lord, how they are the shelter to all the living entities, like an umbrella, shelter us from all calamities and like that. So first they offer that glorification, then they express their disqualification. They express their inability to perform the task that they were given. So similarly, also when we pray, we can follow the same kind of sequence. First, glorify the Lord, then express our disqualification, our, you know, shortcomings. Then we can give thanks or express gratitude for the Lord, thank Him for all that He's given us. And then finally, we can request the Lord for the blessing that we seek. So that's, we can read these prayers and we will see that these are the elements that are expressed. And all the prayers of the great devotees, Queen Kunti's, Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, you will find those elements in those beautiful prayers. And we can pray in similar words that these devotees pray, or we can pray in our own words and just, you know, whatever resonates with our heart. So that's what stands out as we read this verse today, that the first sentence that the demigods are saying, O original person, we are therefore but yours only. So that's how they start off, saying that we are therefore but yours only. It's like a surrender statement, kind of. They are expressing their dependence on the Lord, their submission to the Lord. And that's something for us to learn here already as we start studying this verse. Already we can learn a lot about the attitude of devotee. That devotee has this attitude of surrender, the mood of service, submission, dependence on the Lord. And this is clearly expressed in this prayer by the demigods. Actually, Krishna Dharma Prabhu, in his book, Brilliant as the Sun, he mentions there that this is a prayer by Lord Indra specifically. So this is Indra speaking, but he's speaking on behalf of all the demigods. So that's the mood that we can learn here. Surrender to the Lord. And if we unpack the sentence a little bit more, O original person, we're therefore but yours only. So here we can remember how in Bhagavad Gita Lord Krishna says, Mamaivamsa jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana, that living entities are my fragmental parts, parts and parcels. So we are Krishna's. Krishnera Nityadas, we are eternal servants of the Lord. So that's appropriate for us to pray like that, to express that mood that we are yours, my dear Lord. Please accept me. And when we chant every day, the meaning of Maha Mantra, one of the meanings that is given is that, O Lord, please accept me. My dear Lord, I am yours. So this is something for us to meditate, to imbibe this mood of dependency on the Lord. And then they go on to say that although we are your creatures, we are born one after another under the influence of the three modes of nature. And for this reason, we are separated in action. So they're saying that we are your creatures. So they're expressing that they, although demigods, we understand they are somewhat big personalities, important personalities. They have certain powers, but still they have this humility to express that we are yours. We are parts. We're coming from you, emanating from you. But still we are born one after another under the influence of the three modes of nature. So we'll come to that part on the modes of nature. But they are saying that Yeah, what I was going to say, that they are depending on the Lord. So they are expressing that dependency and expressing the desire and eagerness to serve, which is very beautiful to express that mood, that they want to serve. They have the eagerness to serve, but somehow they were not able to. So they had the eagerness, but they had no facility, we can say, or they had lack of facility, lack of direction, lack of guidance from the Lord. So that's what they are expressing, that we want to serve you, but we are unable due to the lack of direction. So that's where we are at. And another point that I wanted to mention here is that that eagerness for service. This is our qualification to really desire to serve the Lord. Like we pray every morning when we are doing Tulsi Arati, Seva Adi Korodiye Koroni Jadasi. Please grant me the privilege of devotional service. Devotional service is privilege. So we should try to appreciate whenever we have the opportunity to serve, and really try our best to serve in the right mood. And we'll talk about the different modes of nature and how they can also affect our devotional service. But really, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gave one line about, you know, what is this Krishna consciousness all about. He said that we are simply the servants of the Lord. That's who we are. That's our identity. He beautifully expressed, Naham vipro na cha narapatir, na pivaisho na shudro, naham varni na cha grihapatir, nova nashto yatirva, kintu prodya nikila paramananda purnamritabdir, gopi bartur padakamalayor, dasa dasanudas. He says, I'm not a brahmana, I'm not a vaishya, I'm not a kshatriya, I'm not a shudra, I'm not a brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyasi. I am a servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord, who is the maintainer of the gopis. So that is also our identity as followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to remember who we are and then act on that. Srila Prabhupada, when he was once asked, there was some kind of program in Amsterdam, a popular show called Top of the Pops, right? Top of the Pops. And they invited the devotees to come and present their philosophy, present kirtan. And devotees, they were like, Srila Prabhupada, I don't think we should go. They're only giving us 2 minutes of, you know, live to speak. It's not worth it to go just for 2 minutes. Prabhupada said, no, we should go. We can explain the entire philosophy in less than 2 minutes. Said, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We are parts and parcels of Krishna, servants of Krishna. And the goal of life is to develop love for Krishna. That's all you need to know. So Srila Prabhupada really emphasized this aspect, that realizing that we are not this body, and identifying ourselves of who we truly are, awakening that nature of being the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. So when we look back at the verse, the demigods are saying that, therefore, after the creation, we could not act concertedly for your transcendental pleasure. So the demigods, they're expressing the desire to serve, but they were not able because they were covered by the modes of nature. So I wanted to explain a little bit, what are those modes of nature? Modes of nature, they are literally like, they're called gunas or ropes. So they bind us. They are very much permeating the entire material world, and they can control the living entities. So for us, in order to transcend the modes of nature, we want to, like the Prabhupada gives in the purport, the answer, how we can transcend the modes of nature, how we can go beyond these modes of nature, which are goodness, passion, and ignorance. Prabhupada says that the best policy, therefore, is to act for the sake of the Lord. So when we act for the pleasure of the Lord, that immediately, automatically puts us above the modes of nature. And we are not in under the influence of the modes of nature. So, however, I wanted to read, there's a beautiful verse in the Bhagavatam that explains, because somebody may say that, okay, so there's the modes of nature, and there's devotional practice, right? And when we are performing sadhana bhakti, then that automatically puts us above the modes of nature. So then somebody may say that, then why do I need to even think about the modes of nature and understand them if I'm a devotee? So does it make sense? So the Srimad Bhagavatam gives a beautiful answer to this in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 13, Text 6. Until one revives one's direct knowledge of the spirit soul and drives away the illusory identification with the material body and mind caused by the three modes of nature, one must cultivate those things in the mode of goodness. So we must actually be conscious. Prabhupada said, first be conscious and then Krishna conscious. So conscious means that we understand where we are at, and we work progressively to develop the qualities of devotee, develop the qualities of mode of goodness. And then Bhagavatam says, by increasing the mode of goodness, one automatically can understand and practice religious principles. And by such practice, transcendental knowledge is awakened. So you see, there is a natural progression here. And Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, in chapter 14, he says that this knowledge that I'm about to explain, chapter 14 is called the modes of material nature. So Krishna says that this knowledge that I'm about to reveal to you about the three modes of material nature is far superior than what we have discussed before. So we know that the middle chapters of Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, chapter 9, they are all dealing about the bhakti, like devotional service, like the essence of the essence. And then here comes chapter 14, and Krishna says that what I'm going to explain to you now, it's far superior than what I have previously discussed. So how do we understand this? Although love for Krishna or pure devotional service is the highest, our aspiration in life, it's not worth much if we have no means to achieve it. So modes of nature, understanding how they work, understanding how we can get liberation from the modes, how we can come to goodness, and then Shuddha Sattva, pure goodness, that's very, very powerful. It's like the means to the goal. It's how, like our toolbox. So it's important for us to cultivate mode of goodness, because that is a that is very conducive for our spiritual practice. Because when we are in the mode of goodness, it's so much easier to practice sadhana bhakti, the regulated principles of bhakti, to rise early, to stay clean, to be attentive, to study the scriptures. Whereas if somebody is in the mode of ignorance, which is the lower type of mode that brings, like, dulls your consciousness, it's very, very hard. If you are influenced by the mode of ignorance, you'll end up going to sleep late, then you'll wake up late, then your japa will be scattered throughout the day, inattentive, you'll be struggling. So to make progress from the mode of passion or ignorance, it's very, very troublesome. Of course, it's possible, because bhakti or devotional practices, especially chanting the holy name, it's all powerful. It purifies us in any way. But if we want to be more progressive, then it makes sense to come to the higher mode, to the mode of goodness. So a devotee, a practitioner, is very much aware of the modes, how they act. That's why we study Bhagavad Gita, so that we understand, you know, it's for a reason Krishna spent an entire chapter of the Bhagavad Gita explaining these modes. So it must be important for us to understand it. and to live our lives trying to reach that higher mode of goodness, stay there. And of course, the modes, they are so powerful and they are always competing with each other for predominance. And but if we are aware, that's the power of knowledge, right? If we are aware, if we know the symptoms of the modes, then we can easily correct ourselves and practice the mode of goodness. And from practice, by practicing the qualities of the mode of goodness, we gradually imbibe those qualities and it becomes our second nature. So just like in Ayurveda, you know, there's the concept of doshas, vata, pitta, kapha. And these doshas are basically the elements of air, ether, fire, water, and earth. So these elements, when they combine together, for example, air and ether, we get vata dosha. And, okay, this may be a little bit complicated, but just the principle that, say, for example, there is an increase of vata dosha in your body, meaning the elements of air and ether are increased. And you can understand that by observing the symptoms. So you will notice that, okay, you feel more anxious in the mind because of the elements of air and ether. There's too many thoughts or restless thoughts, anxiety. You may start feeling, you may start developing constipation because the quality of vata is dryness. So there's too much dryness in the body when vata is increased. Or the person may have insomnia, unable to sleep, too much the quality of lightness, which is, again, quality of vata. So see, when you observe these, you know, the elements in action in your body, in your mind, then you can understand, okay, there's an increase of vata, what do I do? Then in Ayurveda, the key principle is like increases like and opposites balance. So then you will start including opposite qualities, opposite of vata, which would be the qualities of moist, warm, oily. So then in your diet, maybe you'll put more ghee, you will dress properly, stay warm, relax more. And in this way, you will balance out the vata dosha and you will notice that you feel more calm and, you know, together. So same principle with the gunas, the material modes. When we observe that, okay, I feel uninspired, I feel lazy, I don't want to get up early, I'm eating kind of stale foods or something, then we, due to this knowledge, we will be able to pick ourselves up and be like, okay, I need to lift myself to the mode of goodness. Because from the mode of goodness, then sadhana bhakti is way more conducive. So you understand the principle? Being aware and putting effort. So it's not enough to just be like, oh, devotees are transcendental. Prabhupada said that, right? Prabhupada said devotees are transcendental. But if we unpack this, who is a devotee? So a devotee is someone like Shukadev Goswami, Maitreya Muni, Vidura Muni. These are devotees. And then we call ourselves devotees as well. But there's some gap, you know, between us and, say, Shukadev Goswami. So can we say that all devotees are equally transcendental? Perhaps not. And there is some gap. And for us to really be transcendental, it requires full absorption. It requires full absorption. In the Bhagavatam, it is said, avyabhicharena, which means the devotional service that doesn't fail, that it's like it never stops. So if you're someone who is, okay, say if you are a pure devotee, then that means you are fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. There's no gap in any moment of the day. You're 24/7 thinking of Krishna, serving Krishna. Your japa is without offenses. That's how you can understand who is a pure devotee. If we have some time in the day where we are like cultivating material desires or engaged in other activities, then there is some room for improvement. So that's why the modes of nature come in handy, because we can work with them and they can support us by raising ourselves to mode of goodness, and then from there, it's very natural Because like mode of goodness and practice of sadhana bhakti, the principles of sadhana bhakti, they kind of go together. All right, so let's see what else is here. Let's touch a little bit on the purport. Prabhupada says that different creatures are also under the same influence, and therefore they cannot act concertedly in satisfying the Lord. So this word concertedly means together, or like, what's the word, in cooperation. So because the modes of nature, they are influencing us in different ways. So say I may be affected by mode of passion, somebody else is affected by mode of ignorance. And then when we try to work together, it doesn't really work because we have different intentions, different desires. So there's some friction. So Prabhupada says that because of these modes of nature acting upon us, there cannot be harmony in this world. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shri Shri Gauranitai ki jai. So, in order to act concertedly to satisfy the Lord, we must have a common goal. So, this principle, unity in diversity. Unity in diversity, meaning that we focus on the common goal. And then these differences, they may be there, but it doesn't really matter because all we're trying to do is to serve the Lord, to please the Lord. That is the primary motivation. There's a beautiful letter by Srila Prabhupada to Aitreya Muni. I'll just read a few sentences from that letter, which is very nicely illustrating the point of unity in diversity or working in cooperation. So Srila Prabhupada says, people should not expect that even in the Krishna consciousness society, there will be utopia. Meaning that it's normal that there will be some arguments, frictions, even amongst devotees, because we're all persons. We're not impersonal. So there will be difference of opinions and things like that. And that's fine. Because devotees are persons, therefore, there will always be some lacking. But the difference is that they lacking because they have given up everything to serve Krishna. Money, jobs, reputation, wealth, big educations, everything. They lackings have become transcendental because despite everything they may do, their topmost intention is to serve Krishna. So this intention, Srila Prabhupada in Nectar of Instruction, in the beginning he gives a very beautiful point. He says that advancement of the follower depends on one's attitude. So how much progress we make in spiritual life is not so much about the externals, how big of a service we're doing. It's all about the attitude. What is our consciousness? Are we trying to gain something? Do we have ulterior motivations? Just like modes are affecting us on a daily life, modes can seep into our devotional service too. So say somebody is performing a devotional service in the mode of passion. So they are doing devotional activity, but the motivation or the consciousness is could be, for example, they want to get prestige, fame, recognition, like, look at me, I'm a head pujari or something. You know, it could be, it's a contamination, right? That's how the modes affect. Or somebody in the mode of ignorance, they do devotional service, but they do it in a mood of, in a grudging way, or criticizing, or just lazy, lethargic, in an unclean state. So again, it's a bhakti, but it's contaminated by tamas or mode of ignorance. Going back to the letter, Prabhupada says that, so if there is sometimes slight disagreements between devotees, it is not due to impersonalism, but it is because they are persons, and such disagreements should not be taken very seriously. So even if something happens, we don't take it too seriously. We let it go because our primary motivation is to please the Lord. And we understand that we get affected by the mood, so it's natural that there may be some things that come up. Once one devotee came to Srila Prabhupada and said, Srila Prabhupada, sometimes I fall into Maya. Srila Prabhupada replied, no, you are always in Maya, and sometimes you fall into Krishna consciousness. So that's our state, perhaps, that, you know, we are very much conditioned. So Prabhupada further says that, I am very pleased that you are assisting your God brothers so nicely. And Srila Prabhupada was so eager to cooperate. Like, he exhibited this principle of unity, of cooperation in his own life very strongly. When he went to Mayapur to open the temple in Mayapur, he invited all of his God brothers to come, and he fed them prasadam, and he urged them that, please, let's cooperate, let's form the GBC together. That was already at the time when Prabhupada established over 40 temples in the world. And still at that point, even though the God brothers didn't assist him much in any way, still Srila Prabhupada was willing to cooperate with them, to engage them in serving his Guru Maharaj. And because Prabhupada's primary motivation was whatever pleases his Guru. He wanted to please his Guru Maharaj. So he was willing to cooperate. All right, I think that's enough from the letter. Yes, and in many occasions we can learn how Prabhupada exhibited this mood of cooperating, working together for the sake of the Lord, because that brings the harmony. And when Radha Damodar Party, they were doing so well, they were bringing in so many people, distributing so many books, they were doing amazing preaching work, and Srila Prabhupada told the leader of Radha Damodar Party, you have to stop this, you have to quit. Why? Because there was a lot of tension between the brahmacharis of Radha Damodar Temple and the temple leaders, because the Radha Damodar leader, because he was taking away brahmacharis from the temples. And so the temple presidents, they got disturbed that they're taking away all our good brahmacharis. So so Prabhupada was not happy about that tension that was created. And he said, you have to stop. And the Radha Damodar party leader, he said, but then this whole thing will stop. Book distribution will stop. And Prabhupada said, I don't care. So he put the unity, the principle of unity, the principle of cooperation, even above the principle of importance of preaching, book distribution, reaching out. So we can learn a lot from Srila Prabhupada and try to be in this cooperative spirit, work together for the satisfaction of the Lord. And then the Lord will be pleased. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Nachatasman manushyeshu kashchin mam priyakritama bhavita na chametasmad anya priyataro bhuvi, that there is no servant more dear to me than he who shares this Krishna consciousness with others. So we are the movement of Sankirtan, or together. Sankirtan comes from the word samyak. Sam means together. So we are meant to work together for the upliftment of the society in general. And there's so much to do. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, help me to distribute this fruits of love of God. And Haridas Thakur comes to Mahaprabhu and says, Chintana kariya, Prabhu chintana kariya, do not worry. Do not worry, and we will do it for you. We take the anxiety of Lord Mahaprabhu that, you know, to give this message of love of God to everyone. So working together to please the Lord, to spread this movement, it's very, very important, and that will please the Lord tremendously. Lord Shiva in the Srimad Bhagavatam, he is known as a great devotee who sacrifices himself. There is a pastime where they are churning the milk ocean, and then the poison comes up. So Everyone is bewildered what to do. And Lord Shiva, he drinks the poison so that they can continue churning the milk ocean. And Bhagavatam explains that tapyante lokata pena sadava prayaso janam paramaradanam taddi purushasya kilatmanam. Tapyante lokata pena, that great personalities, they almost always accept voluntary suffering for the upliftment of others. And paramaradanam tadi, that is considered to be the highest form of worship. When you do something for others, when you are engaged in this preaching movement, in whatever way we can, it all counts. Having that mood of service and dedication and surrender to the Lord, that is ultimately what is most pleasing to the Lord. He looks at our heart. So I'll pause here and see if there's any comments or reflections. Anybody? Yes, Amrita.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much, Yogala Priti, for the beautiful class. And so in this pastime that you shared, when Srila Prabhupada put the, it sounded like he put the relationship, you said the cooperation, but also I was reflecting how this shows also how he valued the relationship between devotees so that they can cooperate more than actually the task itself. So I was wondering if you would like to say more about it, how also we, in our practice of devotional service, you know, sometimes we are so fixed on this has to be done, but sometimes we may focus too much on the task and maybe on the cost of the, at the cost of the relationship. And this example of Srila Prabhupada shows that it actually is more important that we maintain good relationships. Hmm.
Yes, actually, Prachetas in Canto. Anybody knows which canto? Prachetas in Canto 4. Lord Krishna says that I'm so very pleased with your with the cooperation between you. The Prachetas were they were the sons of King Prachinabarhishad. And the Lord says, I'm so pleased with the how you're working together for the one goal, for devotional service, for pleasing the Lord. That's very, very endearing to my heart. So similarly, in our devotional life, it's sometimes easy to become complacent and take each other for granted because we see each other every day. And But really, the Lord is pleased when we develop these friendly relationships amongst each other. And then what devotees do when they come together? Tushanti cha ramanti cha. They discuss, they talk about Krishna, they enlighten each other about Krishna. And that is most pleasing to the Lord. That captures the Lord's heart. So we should put an endeavor or effort to cultivate those loving relationships amongst each other. Of course, we all are so different. We have different natures. It's not going to be, like Prabhupada said, it's not going to be utopia, this Krishna conscious community that everyone just gets along so well. It's you have to choose kind of whom you want to invest. Because, you know, to cultivate that deeper friendship, you need to invest time. You need to invest energy. So choose a few devotees that you kind of connect well, that you feel you have similar natures and you get along well. And then consciously put effort, put time to get together and build that friendship. Because otherwise we'll end up just having shallow relationships, just Haribol, Prabhu, Haribol, and that's where it is. So, no, we want to really go deeper with a few devotees that we have, you know, that we resonate well with. Hope that answers somewhat. Thank you. Я спробую.
This is a, it is a wonderful thing, and I remember the letter that you spoke about, how we all have differences, and but also in the Bhagavad Gita, it speaks that the Supreme Lord is directing the wanderings of all the living entities, in such a way that it must be in surrender. He's guiding us, and he'll help there. And also in Lord Brahma's prayers in chapter 14, when he's taken the cowherd boys away from Lord Krishna, he says, "My dear Lord, one who earnestly waits on you to bestow your causeless mercy upon him, all the while patiently suffering the reactions of our past misdeeds and offering respectful obeisances with his heart, his words, his body, is surely eligible for liberation, for it has become his rightful claim." And that's sort of like the essence also I can see in this verse.
Beautiful. Thank you for sharing. Yes, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita 18:66, "Sarva dharman parityaja, mamekam sharanam vraja, aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha ishami ma suchaha." Just surrender unto me, I shall protect you, I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. So for devotees, there is nothing to fear. This fear comes from misidentification. We're fearful because we misidentify ourselves with this body, with this mind. And that's again due to the working of the modes of nature. The modes of nature are covering us. So, but if somebody surrenders, Lord Ram, he actually proclaims. Well, there was a story how Vibhishana, the brother of demon Ravana, he was trying to convince Ravana to talk sense into him that give Sita back. You know, it's not going to do any good. Because Vibhishana, he loved his brother Ravana. He wanted the best for him. And he knew if he kept Sita, he will be killed. He will die. So he wanted to protect his brother Ravana, but Ravana wouldn't budge. So then Vibhishana, he surrendered to Rama. He went to Lord Rama's side, and as the monkeys, Sugriva, Hanuman, and others, they were seeing Vibhishana coming, they were like, "Oh no, this is not a good sign. He is a demon." Sugriva, he told to Lord Ram, "You should kill him. We don't know his intention. He's a demon." And Hanuman, he said, "No, I think Vibhishana is sincere. I think he sincerely wants to surrender to the Lord." And then Vibhishana offers beautiful prayers to Lord Ram, saying that, "My dear Lord, I have given up everything, the kingdom, my family, relationships, and I'm here. I've tried so hard to convince Ravana to change his mind, to bring sense into him. But that didn't work. I am here. I'm surrendering to you." And Lord Ram was so pleased. And he said, "Sakrit eva prapanno yas tavasmi iti yachate abayam. Abayam. Na, 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 na." Something, something. But basically he said that someone, if they just seriously once surrender unto me, saying, "My dear Lord, from this day on, I am yours." If they say that once, I give them full courage, I protect them. So that's the mood of the Lord. If we simply express that, "My dear Lord, I am yours." Mother Kulangana, she would often remind us, just randomly in the ashram, she would see us and say, just say, "Krishna, I am yours. I am yours." That was her, you know, mood. She had a beautiful apron, this blue apron that said, Krishna's little servant. And she would walk around with that apron and just reminding all of us. So yeah, thank you so much. So we'll end here. Thank you everyone so much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.